Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. We are continuing in our I Believe series, and I'm excited for this message. I actually had two I was thinking about. I promise I'm not preaching both today. I'm just preaching one, all right? And but actually last second, the Lord kind of changed my mind on something, so I'm going a different direction today, and I hope it's helped to you. 1 Samuel 17 is going to be the story of David and Goliath that we're going to go through. Many of you know that story, and if you don't, you're going to learn it today. So before we jump into the sermon, will you bow your head with me and let's pray together? I'll pray, and in your own heart, would you ask God to work in your heart, to speak to your heart? Ask God to let His Word really just, man, break past the walls of your heart, to overcome the distractions in your mind. We live busy lives. Every one of us live insanely busy lives. And you know what? The busyness and stresses of life, it's very hard to leave them at the door of the church house. It's easy to carry them in. So when you're sitting, even when you're trying to worship, you got a million things rolling around your brain. So I'm asking you, as I pray now, and you have your heads bowed and eyes closed, that you also would pray and ask God to free you from distractions and to speak to your heart this morning. Father God, we love you. We need you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for that love that we just sang about, that love that doesn't make sense to us. You are good. You are gracious. You are wonderful. Free us from distractions and do in our hearts this morning what only you can do. I plead the blood of Christ over this church building, over these people, over each heart and soul today. I speak the name of Jesus over this room, over the kids' class. Do a work that we will give you the glory for everything that happens today. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And before I go any further, this is not the sermon, but I want to rejoice this morning because last Sunday at the end of the service, if you were here, you heard me an invitation to say, if you want to be saved and trust Christ this morning, give your heart to Jesus. I said, I didn't do a, you know, raise your hand and repeat after me. I said, stay after in the service. We had 9 people that stayed behind while everybody else went out to get coffee. 9 people trusted Christ last week. Praise God for that. I wanted to just rejoice in that and give God the glory for that because God's at work at Coastline. I'm so glad to be a part of it. What if the victory that you've been asking God for, okay, all of us have things that we're facing, all of us maybe have trials that we're going through, maybe we have struggles, sin struggles that we're trying to overcome, maybe we have provision needed from God, a bill needs to be paid. What if the victory that you've been asking God for is hidden inside the very thing you've been overlooking? 1 Samuel 17 is about a young shepherd boy, David, and a massive, mean giant named Goliath. The truth is, we all want Goliaths in our life to fall. We want healing. We want freedom. We want a breakthrough in our life. We want restoration. But from Scripture we see, and in life, many of you have learned this lesson as well, God's pathway to victory often starts with obedience, not opportunity. God's pathway to victory often starts with us just doing what we're supposed to do, taking steps of obedience forward in life, not just being in the right place at the right time. Today we're going to walk through this iconic story in the Old Testament, this factual account of David and Goliath, and discover 4 truths that show us why God's victory only comes from God. And that's the message this morning. I believe victory comes from God. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to walk through some key verses and unpack each point. I want to read a few scriptures at the beginning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look a little bit about Goliath this morning. Verse 1 says this, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together." This is 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. "Which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shaka and Azekah and Ephes-Damim." There's going to be a lot of big names I'm going to stumble through. "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel," God's people, "stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood," in verse 8, "and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants of Saul, to Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Verse 11, "When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Look at verse 12. "Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, Abinadab, and Shammah. In verse 14, David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. We see God's people Israel in the valley of Elah, with the Philistines on one side, God's people on the other, a valley between them, a massive battle that seems to be about to take place, when suddenly a giant of a man from the Philistines, from the enemy, comes out covered in armor with huge spears and shields and everything, and begins to call out the Israelites, "Give me a man to fight." And we'll see that the Israelites are afraid. They need a massive victory. They need a miracle is what they need. The message is, I believe victory comes from God. Let's see how God brought victory to them, and I believe how he'll bring it to us. Number one is this: when it comes to victory, victory starts with the little things. Victory starts with the little things. We just read up to verse 16. David is taking care of sheep, just a young shepherd boy, taking care of sheep. And in verse 17, Jesse, David's father, says this. Look what it says. 1 Samuel 17:17. "Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren." Jesse says, "David, I want you to take this food and bring it to your brothers. They're probably hungry as they're fighting." David didn't wake up that morning as a shepherd boy thinking he was going to slay a giant. That wasn't on his wavelength. He wasn't invited to fight. He was the youngest. He was sent to deliver lunch, bread and cheese, a simple act of obedience to his father. Before God gives you a platform to slay a giant, he often gives you a bag of bread to carry humbly. See, we want the big victories. We want to see God do amazing big things in our life that everybody can see. And oftentimes we don't even want to obey in the little things. Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." David's destiny was not unlocked by swinging a sword or even a sling. No, it was by serving in silence first. He was just a lowly shepherd boy, taking care of his father's sheep. Some of us want elevation without submission. We want to be elevated. We want to be at the top of the pedestal where everybody can see us and we have all this. No, but we don't want to submit to God in the small things. We want purpose without obedience. Many of you are seeking for purpose in your life. What am I supposed to do? But you won't do the things you already know you're supposed to do. God is watching how you deliver bread before he's going to let you ever lead armies. Think about that, church. God is going to watch how you deliver bread before he ever lets you lead armies. Don't despise the small assignment. It's preparation for your Goliath moment. Our TVs went out? All right, I'll just give you the points. You can write them down. We got pens there too, all right? Focus right up here. Victory starts with the little things. What is it that God is calling you to do right now? The small things. You know what he wants you to do? You know what God wants? God wants you to read your Bible. God wants you to read your Bible. God wants you to pray. Hey, God wants you to come to church. That's what God's calling us to do. Listen, you want to do all, oh, but what am I supposed to do with my life? No, this is what God wants you with your life right now. You're working a job, great. He wants you to be a good employee. He wants you to be a good dad. He wants you to be a good mom. He wants you to lead your family well. He wants you to stay faithful. We got to focus on the little things first before God is ever going to lead us in the big things. Victory starts with the little things. Number two is this. Let your actions be directed by God's calling on your life. Let your actions be directed by God's calling on your life. You see, David was a shepherd boy. What we didn't read is in the chapter before, 1 Samuel 16, guess what happened to David? Chapter 16, verse 13 says, then Samuel, who was the prophet of God, took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. In chapter 16, King Saul of the Israelites was struggling. He wasn't obeying God like he should. So God wanted a new king for Israel. So David, as a young boy, was anointed king in front of his brothers. As a young boy. Samuel, the prophet of God, came and poured oil, and David was anointed king the chapter before 17. Before David faced Goliath, he was already anointed king, but he was still a shepherd. He was still just his dad's shepherd. He didn't look like a king. Nobody obviously treated him like a king, but he carried the call of God on his life. So when he saw the armies of Israel paralyzed by fear, because of Goliath the giant, he stepped forward and said in verse 29 of chapter 17, David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? When everybody else, when his brothers, when all the other armies of Israel were scared and hiding in their tents from Goliath, David stepped up as a young boy and said, what are we going to do? Listen, we have a reason to fight. Is there not a cause? When you know you're called by God, you don't need to be validated by people. When you know that you're called by God, you don't need the approval of others. Your actions should come from your calling, not from your current circumstances. David rested in his calling. It gave him the confidence to say, you know what? I know I'm a shepherd, but I'm anointed king. God has called me to be king. Someone's got to do something. Let your actions be directed by God's calling on your life. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. God has called us. God has saved your soul. God is sanctifying you and leading you to better things. He's calling you. to serve Him, to love Him, to serve and love others. Let that calling in your life. Listen, we think of calling as like preaching. Listen, I believe I'm called to be a pastor. My calling goes way beyond just being a pastor. I'm called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm called to be a godly father to my children. I'm called to be a loving husband to my wife as Christ loved the church. Yes, for me in my personal life, I believe I'm called to pastor Coastline Baptist Church. I don't know what your calling holds, but you have to ask God, God, what are you calling me to do? And whatever it is, let your actions be directed by God's calling on your life. You don't need the crown to walk like a king, and we see that in David's life. You need to walk like you believe God chose you. David wasn't reacting to fear in this situation. He was responding to his call. When things start to get tough, and they will, rest in your calling. You think that in 5 years of pastoring Coastline Baptist Church that I haven't doubted that I'm the man for the job? You think that the last 5 years, we have great Sundays. I love our Sundays. We've had some great, listen, the TV just went out. That used to bother me so badly. Today I'm like, whatever. But I'll tell you one thing, that's nothing. That's nothing. You see this stain in the ceiling? I came in on a Sunday morning to that once. Careful, I'm going to crash right on you guys. You're in the hot zone right now. You're in the hot zone. Listen, there have been so many times with this building, but beyond that, with people, with struggles, when I'm like, I'm not it, man. She knows, I've told her. I just don't think I got what it takes. And yes, we can say, well, no, we don't, you know, in Lord, in God we do. I don't know what you mean, but I mean, even like, God, you got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong guy. I can't do this. Hey, beyond that, as a special needs father, raising my boy who's going to be 13 in January. Yeah, crazy. And there are many days when I'm like, I just don't have what it takes. But when things start to get tough, when things start to not make sense, when you feel like you're not enough, rest in your calling. Here's the bottom line. Whether I like it or not, God called me to be the pastor of this church. Like I said earlier, you're stuck with me. I'm here. I'm here. On the good days and the bad days. The good, the bad, the ugly. When Seth's having a bad day, guess what? I'm still his dad. And God gives grace. So you may be at the bottom of the barrel. You might be just crawling, tired, exhausted, with no energy left. And all you have left to keep you going is your calling. Maybe for you, it's not necessarily a title. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe God's calling in your life is allowing you to walk through a deep and fiery trial. That other people don't have to go through that. Why do I have to? Because God is doing something in you that He's not doing in those other people. So when it gets hard, or maybe it already is hard, maybe it's the whole time it's been hard, sometimes all you can do is just rest in the fact that God is sovereign and God has brought me to this point and God has called me to this, and I don't want to do it. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the energy to do it. It's bothering me, but God has called me here, so here I am. And that's all we got. And that's all we got. Our actions must be directed by God's calling on our life. Number three. Often victory comes from going against the current. Often victory comes from going against the current. Verse 24 of 1 Samuel 17, it says, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. you know, I don't blame them. If me and you were there in the Valley of Elah and we saw Goliath, guy like me, I'm probably hiding in my tent too. You know? They were afraid. Verse 32, David said to Saul, the king at the time, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David said, "You know what? I'll go do it." Imagine I'd like to think the snickers and laugh. Maybe it was just like, "Don't, bro. No, you're going to die, man. Look at you're the youngest one here. You're just a shepherd boy. We're all trained soldiers. We're not going to do it. You definitely can't do it." Often victory comes from going against the current. Everybody else was running away. David chose to stand firm. He was the only one who believed that Goliath could fall, because courage doesn't come from the crowd. Okay, courage doesn't come from the crowd. It comes from the conviction that God is greater. Courage doesn't come from everybody else. No. It comes from the conviction that God is greater and he will deliver me. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It's changing your perspective. It's saying, "I know this trial, I know this giant looks way too big for me, but I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident as seasons change that his faithfulness remains. I believe God is greater than this giant. I believe he's stronger than this giant." And it's changing your mind. It's a renewing of your mind. Sometimes you're called to stand when others sit. Sometimes you're called to believe when others fear. Sometimes you're called to move forward when others shrink back. You may be the only one in your circle, in your family, in your workplace, in your friend group that has decided to put God in your life, to choose Christ. You may be the only one choosing obedience or purity or faith or prayer, whatever, fill in the blank. But that's where the power is, in going against the flow to follow the call. Victory often comes from going against the current. Talk to any, and I'm going to get practical, talk to any successful business owner, and they're going to say that they did something that no one else was doing. They went against the current. When it didn't make sense, when it didn't look like it was going to work, they tried it anyway. They took a risk. We don't have any risk takers in Christian lives anymore. We want the comfortable Christian couchy life. We're called to greater things. And victory comes from going against the current. It does. Hey, being part of a young church plant, I think in some ways is going against the current. Say, I'm gonna serve here, be a part of what God's doing, help, be a part. Listen, there's a several wonderful, great gospel preaching churches on the Cape where you could go and you could sit and you could be preached to wonderfully by friends of mine. And there wouldn't even probably be any room for you to serve. But you could go and just spiritually relax. But you have decided, hey, I'm going to go and be a part of somewhere that is growing, that needs help, that needs people to step up. Hey, that's where victory comes from, going against the current. Amen. Lastly is this. 1 Samuel 17:40 says, "And he took his staff in his hand." Okay, this is after David went to Saul, after he said, "I'm going to fight Goliath." And Saul said, "Well, listen, take this armor and take this shield and take this sword, and that'll help you." And you can just picture young David in this adult man's armor just not fitting him. And it's just like, he's like, "I'm not using this. I got my slingshot, and that'll be good enough for me." Amazing. In verse 40, he took the staff in his hand. He chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Number 4 is this. Lastly, God will use what's around you so he gets the glory when it comes to victory. David didn't take Saul's armor. He didn't carry a sword or a spear like Saul wanted him to. No, he used what he had. He had a slingshot, maybe. The same slingshot that he used, it says in the scriptures that when he was a shepherd boy, he killed a bear and a lion with that slingshot. Same one. He's got his slingshot. He goes to the brook and grabs five smooth stones. God used that to slay the giant. Verse 50, David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and with a stone. God will use what's around you so he gets the glory. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and hath chosen the weak things to confound the things which are mighty. God will use your simple tools in your life, your imperfect gifts, your broken story, your rough path that God's brought you through. And he will use what's around you, those imperfect things that you try to hide. He will use that to get supernatural glory. You don't need a sword. You need surrender. You don't need popularity. You need purpose. You don't need power. You need the presence of God in your life. That is what brings victory. And that is what God uses. He will use what's already in your hand to bring down what is standing in your way. That is the God that we serve, the all-powerful God. Can I tell you something amazing? My precious son, Seth, is going to be 13. I know it's insane. My son, Seth, many of you know, is nonverbal. He's nonverbal, severely autistic. There's a few things he'll say. Yes. He'll repeat what we ask him to say. But can I say something amazing? God has used Seth and Seth's story and our journey with Seth, the struggles, the victories, all of it. God has used Seth to change people's lives. I believe that God has used Seth in his journey through this autism and our journey in raising him. God has allowed us to connect with people because of that, because of Seth's journey. We've connected with people, yes, because of that, which in turn allows us to talk about the Lord. We've seen people that we never would have met without Seth going through this autism. We never would have met them that have been saved, that have been baptized. Some of you are here even today because of a connection that was made because of Seth. Seth is a silent witness to God's grace. Seth, who, yes, listen, he's not mute. We know he can get loud. We know that. But a young boy who can't with his words communicate, God has used to turn people's lives upside down. God will use what's around you to accomplish victory. Amen. Amen. It's amazing how someone without a voice of his own has done more for the cause of Christ than many who can speak. God will use what's around you so he gets the glory. David didn't win because he was the strongest. He didn't win because he was the loudest. He won because he believed that God brings the victory. 1 Samuel 17:47, David said, the battle is the Lord's. He said this to Goliath. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And that's still true for you. Victory doesn't come strictly from your effort. It comes from your trust in a God that will bring you through, that will give you the strength to press on. So here's the challenge, my friend. Be faithful in the little things. Walk in your calling, not in your comfort zone. Stand against the flow when others fall in line, and use what you have. Use what God has given you and trust that God will do what only He can do. And may you not forget that this story of David and Goliath, David slaying the giant Goliath, points us to a greater victory, and that's the victory of Jesus Christ. Israel stood powerless before their giant, and I'm telling you, we stand powerless before the greatest enemies of all, sin and death and the devil, and no amount of strength, no amount of good works or status or strategy can overcome them. Like Israel's army, we cannot win the battle on our own against sin, death, and hell. But just as God raised up David to protect and save the children of Israel against Goliath, a shepherd boy, not a soldier, God sent Jesus, His Son, the Good Shepherd, to step onto the battlefield of this world, to give His life on the cross, to face the giant of our sin and death and hell. And at the empty tomb, Jesus Christ crushed death forever. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the gospel. Victory doesn't come from us. Comes from God, and He gives it through His Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're here today facing the giant of sin and death and hell and an unknown eternity, rest in Jesus Christ. He died for you. He rose for you. He lives now even for you. Give your heart to Him. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll save you. You can spend eternity in heaven with Him, and He will help you in life now. Have you trusted Christ to win the battle for your soul? And if you're saved, if you're a Christian, a child of God, remember, every battle that you face now, every trial that you face, every giant you come up against now in your life has already been overshadowed by the ultimate victory of the cross. So walk in that confidence. Live in that freedom. And proclaim that truth. I believe victory comes from God. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.